This is the HopeCast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
This is Reality Check. My name is Brad. She is Heidi. And
hello.
How you doing today?
I'm doing amazing. I'm so excited for today.
We are going, we're dipping our toe back in the Big Brother water, right?
Yes.
Except we're not BB16 in it, we're BB25 in it today. We've moved up to this present year, and we are talking to Izzy from BB25. How excited are you?
Listen, I'm so excited. I have met Izzy before, and I loved her. I loved everything about her, and I cannot wait to find out more and more about it.
She brings the energy, and she's a flautist. So I'm sure we'll bring up that, right?
Yes, we're going to have to ask her about that for sure.
And a little inside baseball, my son got to say hey to her. He's a big fan of Izzy, and I was watching him. He was so nervous. So when we're done, I'm going to go make fun of him. So.
Let's do it. Let's have the best conversation. I cannot wait.
Heidi, how can people find Reality Check online?
Yeah, so now we are on Instagram. Follow us, Reality Check HB. That stands for Reality Check with Heidi and Brad. And Brad, we are posting our podcast, The Voice, everywhere, right? Is that correct?
Yes, we are. We are on iTunes and Spotify. You just got to go and Work Advice for Me every other Thursday. So you'll hear Heidi and I every other Thursday. It's fun. We got some great guests lined up. It's going to be a fun season of getting and talking to people from reality shows and learning a little bit of behind the scenes and what their life was like.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Make sure you leave us a review on iTunes and Spotify. Follow us on Instagram and like all we do, because Heidi and I love hanging out and recording. Don't we, Heidi?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
With that being said, let's get to Izzy. Okay, Heidi, we are here with probably my son's favorite guest in the Big Brother house this past season. Izzy, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, for sure.
I'm so excited.
Yes, Heidi has been ecstatic, and I have been excited too. It's an honor. It's an honor to chat with you for a little while. Thank you for joining Reality Check.
Yes, I just have to say, Heidi, like, after the Bryce and Wen party, the first one, like, second episode or whatever, when the first time we met at that party, at the end of that, I had gone home, I was catching up with Paige, she was out of town that time, and I was like, you're never going to believe it, but like, wow, Heidi took care of me. Like, I was like, I am so appreciative of Heidi that night. I don't know, I just wanted to have an opportunity to, like, say how much I appreciated.
That is so sweet.
Because I was so fresh out of the Big Brother house, like days, like single digit days out of the house. And I showed up to this thing and it was nuts. And Heidi was.
We connected. I love you too. Thank you. That's so sweet. Yeah. I hope. Listen, I always say if I can make someone happy in a day, my life is complete, right? Like I'm great for life in the future. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Well, Heidi, you brought up something. You brought up the first time you met Izzy, and you said she was days out of the Big Brother house. And Heidi wondered, and Heidi, go ahead and ask her what you were telling me, because I'm fascinated to hear what she's going to say to this.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot, right? Because in a lot of the show, so from Survivor, we all are out of the game and we all watch it together, separate, whatever, but everyone's out. In your case, I mean, you get out and their show is still ongoing, right? So I cannot even imagine being in your shoes. Tell us a little bit about that. What is it like? The good, the bad, and the ugly, because I'm sure there's a little bit of every of that.
Yeah,
every bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this kind of thing a lot with Kelly from 45. She also was like, immediately we connected when I got out of the house. And I was like, oh my God, like, you're only seeing your show now, like, you've had to process, you've gotten to talk to everyone before everyone sees it. And so I've been thinking a lot, you know, I'm such a massive Survivor fan, so I think a lot about the differences between it. And I also think, like, I have pre-jurors also on Big Brother have an extremely unique experience that not everyone on our season or any season knows, because pre-jurors get to watch the live feeds. That that's insane. Like that, mm-hmm. I think that was like the hardest thing for me coming back. Was that like I was in the airport at JFK, like on my phone, waiting for my bag, like watching the live feeds because I'm a junkie, you know? Like, I mean, you know, because you're still processing it, you still want to be there, you still think you're there, you're suddenly home, you know, and you have this access to the house. It's wild, it's nuts. And that was also my first experience with live feeds. So mm-hmm. coming back was like, yeah, different than Survivor, there isn't this like group mentality of like getting together and experiencing the show mm-hmm. together. Because like once the jurors and the winner make it home, the show's done. Like it's just the edit that they could watch whenever they want or never. You know, it's mm-hmm. not like Survivor that's like, okay, well, we're all going to see each other on the premiere day or whatever. You know, like mm-hmm. so there isn't that kind of like group coming together. There isn't that sort of like same communal support within a season to like experience it. So I thought that was like, in some ways it's like a little lonely in mm-hmm. that experience. Yeah. Like lonely coming back and you know, yeah. So I that was the hardest thing. I think the access to the live feeds. I think the show exists in the live feeds. Holy crap. Like
wow.
Is the show, because that's like actually what's happening in the house. And so it's like devastating that that archive goes away. But I think like that's what sets it apart from Survivor or other shows like this
right.
element. But that element also makes it really, really hard for the players. I mean, I was hooked. I was hooked.
Thank you for sharing.
Heidi, what would you think? Yes, thank you. What would you think, Heidi, if they had Survivor, if they played Survivor like Big Brother live and they had cameras on you constantly? Would that be as fascinating as what we get to see on CBS once a week?
I don't know if fascinating is the right word, because even for the Big Brother, I mean, you have a live feed sometimes when they're sleeping, and I don't know if that's necessarily fascinating. I personally, I would freaking love it. You would actually see, because what you see from the edits, it's an edit, literally, right? Like it's someone's vision of what the edit should look like. And when you look at a live feed, you may see a completely different perspective. So I think it would be amazing. I don't think it would ever happen in Survivor, but the camp life in Survivor is like the funnest part for me, because that's where the true legit relationships happen and the fun and like the craziness and the crazy ideas. There were so many crazy things that obviously are not shown. So yeah, I think I would love it. It would change people's perception of how the real life in the islands or in Big Brother, right? Like you get a different perspective. But yeah, I think it would be super cool. I don't think it would ever happen, at least not for Survivor. Although, please, anybody out there who's listening and wants to make it a live feed, do it. Because I think I'm here for it.
Logistically a nightmare, like being someone that's like part of like productions and things, like that's a nightmare. Like Survivor would never happen. Like but yeah, but anyway, we don't have to talk about this a lot. I don't know how interesting this is, but I think it's like wild. We don't see anyone, Heidi. Like we don't see any camera people.
We do.
And I think that more so than like, yeah, you at least I never thought about the cameras, because like, yeah, you see them, whatever, but they're not like, it's not like a person following you. That I think about sometimes. It's like, mm-hmm.
Well, that was brought up with Christine from BB16. I think you forget that you're getting filmed, right? Eventually.
I literally never thought about it.
Yeah, because I asked her, I said, look, you got these cameras and you got people just having sex. I'm like, I don't understand that. Like, I would not want to do that.
Try to hide it.
You try, but you know what's going down. You're like, okay.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
If I remember right, did Jared? I think he did, right?
I plead the fifth on all.
I like that. Heidi, answer for it.
I don't think we're going there. I don't think I'm going there. And then someone will be like, why would you say that? No. Why
you say that? Izzy, tell us a little bit about what Izzy was like as a kid. I love learning this stuff.
I was actually pretty shy for a lot of, I'm an only child.
Okay.
I don't have any siblings, and I grew up in New York City, in an apartment, you know, with my parents. And I don't know, I spent a lot of time by myself. Like I was always like really good at keeping busy with my hands. You know, I always drew and like was building things. I was obsessed with Legos. And I started playing the flute when I was 5. So I don't have any memories really before playing the flute. So that was like, has always been a massive part of my life and my interests. And I swam really competitively. So I was always like active and around people and doing things, but I was like a little shy. I think thinking about it now, I was like very, very closeted. You know, I don't know if that's even the right word, or like in denial mm-hmm. about my sexuality and who I am. And so I think maybe some of the shyness was like, it's clear, it's hard for me not to be authentic. Like, I think that was something that was maybe very clear now being on a reality show, is like, it's really mm-hmm. hard for me not to be, you know, who I am. And so I think my shyness was coming from like diminishing myself to try to not be myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I always wanted to be in social situations. And my mom is just like the most extroverted, outgoing, loud Sicilian from Long Island woman you've ever met. So that absolutely is like a part of, you know, who I am. And so I was, yeah.
Just two comments from what you just said. Yeah. One, the authenticity that you come across, especially on TV, is why we love you. So mm-hmm. never change that ever, please. And second, Brad, I think we're going into the flute because we are so interested in this.
Totally. Like,
is it okay. a flautist? Is it a flautist? Is that what it's called?
Well, technically, flautist, I think like American English speakers want things to sound fancier than they are because English doesn't sound fancy. It's flutist because the word is flute in English, but people like flautist because it's like comes from the Italian flauto, blah 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 blah.
Okay,
technically right, but I say I play the flute. I don't, you know.
So you started it when you were like 5,
yeah.
And up until now, because I know that for a fact. But like, did you finish high school and went into do this professionally? Tell us the story after.
Yeah. I kind of knew I wanted to do it professionally when I went to high school. So I went to LaGuardia High School, which is like the Fame mm-hmm. school, if you've heard of the movie Fame.
Okay, yeah, know that.
I like that. It's like a normal.
Terrible airport, by the way. Don't like the airport.
No. Bite your tongue, because they redid that shit.
They redid it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's nice now.
I haven't been there since the redo. Okay.
Let's get more direct flights to LaGuardia.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went, you had to audition into that school, and so you had to be fairly, it was like funny, like the social, you know, like social thing at LaGuardia was like, if you were really into your studio, you were very, very cool. Mm-hmm. And if you were like not going to pursue your art, it was like, oh, those are like the less cool kids. Anyway, I just think that's kind of funny, you know, because ultimately we were nerds, you know, like we were nerds that wanted to pursue classical music. But yeah, I studied very seriously, basically when I started playing the flute when I was little. And there was like a teaching artist that came to my kindergarten classroom and played the flute for us, because that's the instrument that she played. And I just like fell in love with it. I just apparently went home and was like, I have to play the flute. I don't know. I have to play the flute. I have to play the flute. And so that woman became my teacher for like 12 years. I studied with her.
Wow.
So awesome.
We now like co-teach students and are fully colleagues. And she's still like a big part of my life, which is amazing.
Love it.
Izzy, when you told your mom you want to play the flute, did she give you this speech? I'm going to buy the flute, but you better play it.
No.
She didn't give you that, because I feel like I would have gotten that as a child. But you better play it.
I like my parents, like my dad is like this intellectual who like, you know, and my mom is also an, you know, free spirit, let's say. They were very I'm so fortunate that they were just like always supportive of all of my interests and things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because my dad is like, they're academics, you know, things become rigorous to a certain extent, you know? So I had private lessons, you know, I mean, but I appreciated it. I actually started, Tanya, my teacher was like, if she can make a sound on a standard vanilla, like vanilla extract bottle, you know, little McCormick's.
Yeah.
That little fun fact is the opening of that bottle is basically the same size as the embouchure hole on a flute. So she was like, well, she's like a little small, so if she can make a sound on this, like, yeah, I'll teach her lessons, why not? And so I just apparently was like boop 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 like all around the apartment. My parents are like, great. So it's actually a necessity we get her a flute, because we're going out.
Oh my god!
Like hooked, and so yeah. I mean, the next natural step was I went to conservatory for college, and so I did my undergrad at Purchase College, which is, you know, state tuition. We love that. we love a state school. But yeah, I got my degree in music performance, and I went to grad school at Yale. They have a graduate school of music, and so I got a master's degree in flute.
Wow. Oh my god, you're amazing. It blows my mind, but I also love it so much. So much. Issy, I have to ask you, because I'm sure a lot of people would ask you this. I saw in your Instagram that you were part of Tiny Desk. And for the people like me who are obsessed with it, tell me more about it. How was that experience? And for anybody who doesn't know, this is like an NPR desk. You could like YouTube and Google it. There's all kinds of high celebrities involved in that. So tell us more about it.
Yeah, yeah. Google NPR Tiny Desk concerts, and do that, and Google Wild Up. I play in this group called Wild Up that's based in LA. And I now, like, after school, I transitioned away from classical music traditionally, and my career and my interests exist in like experimental music and new music. So basically everything I play is by a living composer or written by myself or colleagues. So that's like the world that I exist in. And so I play in this experimental group in LA. That's been working on this massive project, recording all of the works of this composer, Julius Eastman, whose work had been lost because of, you know, just the course of his life. A lot of his work had been lost. And he's a Black gay composer that didn't get his flowers when he was alive necessarily. And so we've been working on this massive project, recording his music. And we got to play one of his pieces, Stay On It. At NPR Tiny Desk. And it was amazing. I mean, we were all so looking forward to that show. And yeah, I mean, in some ways it felt like any other show, but it was like kind of wild standing there like on the set, even though it's not a set. It's like literally, I didn't realize this. It is literally in an office. Like the whole floor is just an office building.
Really? You know,
NPR's office building. So it's just like they have just like one cubicle set up like the way you see it, obviously, when you look at it. It's very unique. If you haven't seen a Tiny Desk, the way they have it set up is very unique and special, and every artist leaves like an artifact there, so it sort of grows. And but yeah, we're just chilling in this office space about to jam out on this, like, and the music is like improvised in some ways and very repetitive. And yeah, we just had a great time. It was amazing.
That's amazing. I cannot wait to like watch the whole thing with my family, because usually we're just like cooking or doing whatever, and we put it in the background, just let it go. So it goes from one artist to another. Yeah. So I cannot wait to like watch, literally Google yours to watch it with the family.
Well, sorry to put a pause on such a great conversation, but here at HopeCast and here at Reality Check, we have a sponsor. One of their sponsors is Generous Coffee. My good friend Ben Higgins, who's on The Bachelor Season 20, created Generous Coffee. When you purchase Generous Coffee Beans, we want you to enjoy each brew for two reasons. One, because you're a part of something bigger, making a positive impact around the world. And two, because we did not compromise on the quality of coffee you are drinking. Some of the best coffee in the world, 100% of the profits are donated to nonprofits that are fighting human injustice around the world. Generous is best known for specialty coffee, but the heartbeat of Generous is their hope to use for-profit business for good. In 2024, Generous is hoping to provide coffee to churches around the U.S. to spread a message within congregations that churches care about people, even down to the coffee they are serving and the people who are enjoying it. If you have interest in hearing more about Generous, please reach out to their founder, Ben Higgins, at ben@generousmovement.com. Now, with that being said, let's get back to this great conversation you're enjoying right here on Reality Check. Definitely. What was the artifact that you left?
I don't even remember. I don't even remember. I think like our director did that. I don't know. I don't really care.
You're like,
that.
I'm leaving the flute. I'm leaving my flute like, right here.
Well, I actually was like recovering from COVID. I fully was like in sweats still. Like I was like fully didn't have COVID, but I was like still like recovering, you know, like, and so anyway, yeah. So I was like maybe
Okay, you said you played Legos. You liked Legos.
Loved Legos.
Do you could you still build something? Like, could you be on Lego Masters?
Oh, no, I don't really care about it that much anymore. but like, the maybe that's a disappointing answer.
It's not disappointing. I think it's fine. I was imagining you going on Lego Masters with your flute.
Well, it's like, oh, yeah. No. Sure, but...
What if she showed up on Lego Masters, Heidi, with her big brother key and the flute and a box of Legos and said, I'm going to build the big brother house right now?
Wow.
Power move, Izzy.
Draw a schematic of the big brother house.
You're so creative, and I love creative people because they make the world better.
Thank you.
Yeah, they do. You got to be forward thinking, right? You got to think about creative stuff to do. I find that so fascinating. Well, you don't strike me as the type of person to just sit in front of a TV and watch TV all the time. You're not, are you?
Well, it's funny because like I definitely have the TV on maybe like all the time, but it's like, I don't know. I'm definitely like undiagnosed in like a variety of ways, you know? So I have to have noise on. Music for me is sometimes a little too exciting. Like if I have music on in the background while I'm trying to do something else, I like maybe can't focus on that other thing that I'm doing. Most often because it's like a creative thing. Like I'm drawing like all the time if I'm just home doing nothing. I mean, I like the music that I write. I create it in like a graphic notation. So okay. I'm always like sort of writing music that's like you interpret images or pictures or things like, or text. And so I'm like often working in that realm. And when I'm trying to think like that, music is really distracting or maybe too influential on then where I'm working. So I have reality TV on all the time, like all the time.
What's your go-to reality show?
Survivor. But now it's like I have to stop watching Survivor. You know, I mean, when I started the casting process for Big Brother.
I want to ask you about that, but go finish the sentence, but go ahead.
Like when I started the casting process for Big Brother, I had Big Brother on basically 24/7. Like when people are like, Izzy didn't watch every season that many times. It's like, I don't think people understand that. Like I because the premiere date was postponed, I had a whole month that I had already planned not to be at work. And I'm a freelancer, so it's like, you don't get that back. So I had like, I don't know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and I just watched Big Brother. It was just on all the time.
That's awesome. So I don't know, Brad, if you caught up to this in Big Brother in Izzy's season, but she talked about Survivor because she was probably one of the few, if not maybe the only one, who recognized Siri and her son from the get-go, the record.
Okay, here's the thing, Izzy. We watched half the season this year because we had a lot going on in our house. And
of course you stopped after week six.
Well, I'm going to tell you something really true, because this is true. When I was thinking about you, I told Heidi before you logged on, I could not believe you went out week six. I was thinking like week 18. I felt like you were there so much longer because I remember you so well.
And Brad, if it was Survivor, it wouldn't have been me. I was collateral damage. The game is really different, you know, having only two options. I was obviously collateral damage for the mess that week had unwrapped. Anyway, we can.
You were. We'll get to that. But I want to say this. When you figured out Jared and Siri opening night, I looked at my beautiful wife and I said, she is done. Like, they will get rid of her stat. Because
like,
I would have. I would have. Yeah. If you knew, if my wife was there and you're like, y'all are married, I know this. You got to get rid of Izzy, right? Because she's going to leak it. But you didn't. You proved Big Brother wrong, because you could have told everyone and gotten and messed up Siri and Jared, and you didn't. That's loyalty. I think that's really cool. I really do.
It's loyalty. It was also, I mean, Heidi, I'm sure you feel this. I mean, watching you, I was like, oh, man, I wish I had sprinkles of Heidi, because I think you are very good at making lots of people feel really comfortable around you. I don't know if I have possessed that. I think the people that I really connect with feel extremely comfortable with me. And I don't necessarily, I'm not good at giving off that same scent for those that I'm like, I don't know if I'm vibing with you, you know? So I wasn't vibing with that many people. Like it was like instant that me and Suri were like, holy shit. I think we would be friends in any situation that we met.
Yeah.
I think we would be each other's people in like, no matter when we met. And I think we like both felt that very, very quickly. And so it felt like it was mutually beneficial. If I had gotten them both voted out, I would have been the next to go. None of those people wanted to work with me. You know,
I see.
Like, and the chemistry is the thing that people don't understand, because I worked my ass off to be in good with Riley. She liked me, but she didn't really want it. I worked my ass off to be in with America, and I made Corey feel very comfortable until I like was hungry and couldn't take it anymore. You know, like, so I didn't have that many legit options for like truly moving forward. Like she, you know, they were my option.
But I don't understand that.
I could have destroyed them at any moment. And I told her that. I was like, when we got down to it, girl, I was not taking you to two. I was going to cut you. Like, we knew that. We knew that. Mm-hmm. We have respect for each other enough in the game of it that it was like, you know, anyway, yeah. But that's like not, that's not who I am, you know? And so I'm always aware of it. I'm hyper aware that I'm most likely going to be the only lesbian on a show, on a cast. And I think we like forget that like people are comfortable with people that they're that they're used to and that they see every day. And I'm not someone these people see every day. And that's like, you know, that's why I'm so proud to have been on Big Brother and to have gotten the Butch comic that I got from the show, because I think that's like really important for our world. Mm-hmm. But it makes it extremely difficult and isolating in these shows, on these casts, at least for me. And so I felt like, you know, the immediate like, ooh, tiptoes, or the immediate like, oh, I'm not quite comfortable. And like, yeah, things that I did to try and connect with people, maybe their first impressions, they couldn't get over that.
I have lots to say about that, Brad, because as you go in these games, it's awesome for the people that are true authentic about who they are. And I think Izzy came across as an authentic person through the TV.
100%,
However, in my case, I come from a very different background. The mom, because I was I can tell that was the oldest one in my season, right? The mom, the Latina. And then I knew I wanted to say a lot about who I was. I'm an engineer, I'm an inventor, all these things that I truly am in my real life. But I use something, I don't know if you know the term code switching, which is when you change the way you act and you talk purely to fit in. And I deal with, I mean, I work with all guys, okay? I'm an engineer, I literally work with all guys. And I used it to my advantage. So I went in knowing that I wasn't 100% going to be 100% myself, because if I was going to be 100% myself, there were going to be all kinds of biases and unconscious biases there that were going to hurt my game, right? So I think it's a very different scenario, because for me, I was like, I'm okay with switching a little bit of who I am and underplaying who I truly am in my real life to make it far and show everyone I could win the game. So, you know, we came to the game probably with different perceptions. For me, it's like, I'm fitting in. Even if I don't fit in, I'm making myself fit in, kind of thing.
It came across that way. It was amazing. Like, I think that element of your social game was fantastic. Like, oh, I'm so jealous. Yeah. Anyway, it was, yeah.
But when people meet me, they're like, oh my God, I thought you were quiet or you were shy. It's like, guys, I was part of the game. Let's go now, you know? Anyway.
Well, you know, I feel like if I got put in a game, I don't care. I would probably prefer to hang with people that I don't normally hang with, because I feel like you can learn so much from other people and you get out of your comfort zone. You're all in this to win. So I don't, your skin color, your sexuality, I don't care. I want to win this game. So
it's like unconscious bias.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, yeah, it's something you sometimes can't even like find a word for the thing that you're feeling, you know?
Yeah. The unconscious
and I think it's maybe something, this is, I say this with no, I think there's a privilege in being Brad. I think we feel something that maybe you haven't felt in the same way or as many times, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like, yeah, that was the most unnerving thing. It was very uncomfortable. Very wow. uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I try not to judge people. I love meeting people. Like for me, I can talk to people and I don't care where you come from. I'm just going to enjoy getting to learn about you.
But it's a natural course of being a human being, though. Like, you know, there's lots of studies and lots of things out there. And I mean, I'm very much, I work in this all the time because I try to represent for those that are typically not represented. And not many people walk in my shoes. So I can talk about this forever and ever. It's a passion of mine. But I am in agreement. Izzy and I do not even walk in the same shoes because the way we look are different, the way we sound mm-hmm. we're different. Mm-hmm. And yet we can find a commonality that underrepresented or in some ways, right? The struggle sometimes of having to code switch. Why do we ever have to do that? I hate that, but it is part of the situation. And for me, it was part of the game. So it's I can talk about this forever, but their unconscious biases are legit. Yeah. And the chemistry that you get with someone most of the time is because you can relate in some ways. And when you cannot relate, it's undeniable to say that it's very hard to find a chemistry. And while you come into these games, I'm going to make friends with everyone and, you know, become friends with everyone mm-hmm. so I could have the best social game. The reality is there are unconscious biases, and no matter what, there will always be people that you don't really gel that much with them, or they don't gel with you. Yeah. And then it becomes real life.
Yeah. You forget that, like, no matter how much you want to give, someone has to give it back.
Exactly.
Like you, so that was the thing that I think exactly what you were describing, Heidi, which I was like, wow, I never thought about this. Like, I could try to be as funny or as chill or like bring the energy or whatever people need. I'm good at reading a room, and like, but if they don't want to receive it, then it doesn't matter, you know. Yeah. Like, you're not, nothing's getting built further than that interaction. So anyway, yeah, well, I think it's like, not the bias isn't necessarily the problem, because we can't control that from like our society, like individually on the micro level, we can't control that. Mm-hmm. Like how you react, how you recognize that, oh, I'm having a bias right now when I look at this person. How do I engage with them so that I learn, or that I decrease that bias, or that bias changes, you know? Mm-hmm.
But Heidi, I honestly, and I'm not blowing smoke up your rear, Izzy, up the old glutes. I would have wanted to work with you, and you and I couldn't be any more opposite. Right. Yeah. You know, like,
well, I mean, people I worked with couldn't have been more opposite.
Yeah.
From me.
Like, and they were blessed. They were blessed. They got to work with you. Right. You got to work with them, and you didn't out them when you could have. And smartly, I think Heidi, she might be the first one to ever keep a secret like that and not at least get somebody going, something, because they're always that
enough.
One. Because you feel
enough.
Good. You got knowledge. Just power on Big Brother.
Listen, I'm very excited for season 46 of Survivor, with Tiffany already saying, why do people say everything to everyone? You know, everyone on Big Brother liked to say that I was a loudmouth, but like, I actually wasn't sharing like actual information. Like, I
right. talk
to people, because what else are we doing in the house? So yeah, like, I am talking, you know, but I was not sharing things, mm-hmm. you know?
And you
like,
didn't. You, so, you proved so, me wrong.
So anyway, I think that's... I made it a reality. Like, I made it a reality that we were not to know, you know. It's a small thing, but I didn't like advertise that I went to Yale. That was just like a reality in the house. Sari knew, Jared knew, and Heisam right before he got evicted knew. But like, I, you know, like, no one, I did not like tell anyone, you know, like, you know, it was just like, it became a reality, you know, and like, so.
I liked Heisam, but he got a little power hungry near the end. I feel like he thought he was really driving the ship. Because I remember I was in Lexington watching. I was in Louisville, and I was traveling. I had to watch, and I watched it away from my family, and I was like, well, he just got eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to. I don't know if that was a question or comment, but.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. But I think us three would have made a power trio. In Absolutely. The Big Brother house, because nobody would have put us together. We could have been working together without anybody knowing it.
Absolutely.
And then she would have cut us, Heidi.
That's right.
Never. She would have cut me first, and that's then you.
I needed to. Come on, Brad, obviously.
You're going to keep... Okay, okay. Izzy, yeah. Heidi, or Suri? Which survivor do you like? Contractually, you have to say Heidi.
I don't know. Feel the blood runs through my
I'm just kidding. Don't answer. I'm just giving you a hard time, Izzy. And
so, are you close to Suri up until today? Like, are you still friends and keep in touch with her?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talk in some capacity basically every day. I think, like, yeah, our relationship has only gotten closer, you know, just it's nice to be home, just living. We don't live that far away from each other, you know, so it's nice to be able to see each other and we talk. And I don't know. Yeah, it's like it feels normal. I got used to talking to her every day, you know, like so.
Did you like her performance on Traitors?
Is that even a question?
Yeah, she was awesome, right? She's
yeah, I mean, like,
she's a legend.
It was a masterclass. And I don't think that it's just because she was with half like newbies. Because like, let's be real, like half the people on this Traitors cast are out to lunch on season two. Like they don't know what's going on. So I thought it was a masterclass. I thought like, there's no way it shouldn't get renewed because that was it. That's how you do it. But close, you know.
But it's an amazing show. I just found it, so I talked to Heidi about it. She hasn't watched the new episode yet, so we can't
spoil it this week.
I know. You see, I logged on to talk to Heidi today, and I could not wait to talk about this. And she's like, "I haven't watched it yet," and I'm like, "Well, that's
Brad, I'm gonna give you the eyes."
Yeah, yeah. It was an amazing episode.
I haven't been in Twitter because every time don't watch something live and then I go on Twitter, I'm like, course, spoiler alert, right? So don't tell me anything until I'm going to watch it over the weekend. So,
Izzy, I want to see you on Traitors. I think you would be great on there.
Call Izzy for Traitors.
Suri needs to call the Traitors producers and go, Izzy needs to go on there because you're fun and you could be a traitor and nobody would guess it.
See, yeah, it's like funny. Like, I mean, I enjoy the discourse, you know, the like D-list fame where like five people talk about you. I enjoy that discourse. And there is some like back and forth about actually, like, I was a trader on Rob Has a Podcast, did a Traders Online, and I was a trader. And online sucks. Like, I feel much more comfortable with it after doing a couple things like that. But like, wow, I was uncomfortable. And let me be real, like, podcasters that are like podcasters, like, with, you know, like, they have a personality like on a screen, you know. I was like so uncomfortable, but I think, like, actually as a faithful, like, I would kill it. I think I would just be suspecting everybody everything. I would have my whole crew of people that, you know, worshipped me, you know. Like, we're like, yes, I don't know. I definitely want to play.
We should play Traitors.
Non-physical people.
The challenge for non-physical people?
Like, it should become, you know, like, the challenge is like, you go on the challenge and you like know that you can like have a part-time job being on reality TV for the rest of your life if you want to. You know, if like you do well and you like do your thing. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that for like people that don't want to like skydive or like beat each other. I mean, I kind of want to beat people up, but like, you know, like run things with people, you know? But the Traitors could be that. Wouldn't it be cool, like, returning people and like, anyway.
To me, Izzy, Traitors is one of the best reality shows I've watched in a long time. Like, I rank it now with Survivor, Amazing Race, and Big Brother.
I want them to get rid of the gimmick. Like, I know that, like, the camp of it is, like, part of the vibe, but I think they have gone too far. Like, well, maybe it doesn't matter, Heidi. Dr. Will's appearance last night was so dumb. Like, it didn't add anything. It was just, like, we got another name to be on this show, but like half the people there didn't even know who he was. I loved it. Anyway.
How would they not know Dr. Will? That's crazy. My wife was like, oh, there's Dr. Will. And I'm like, we're not spoiling anything, Heidi. I promise.
I didn't know who Dr. Will was, you know, before 2023. No, you know. Let's revamp the doctor. Let's get a different perspective.
And I like the host, Alan Cumming. He embraces.
Oh, I love it.
He like invented camp, you know, like he is camp, you know.
He's in quite possibly the worst movie of all time, though, Son of the Mask. Terrible movie.
That's also part of it for him, I think.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie. Izzy, take your season out. We're not going to rank your season. Who is your all-time favorite Big Brother player?
Oh, I mean,
that's a tough question for people. There's so many.
Okay, let me be. Can I be so honest? Like,
I hope so.
Of course, I know
we love ranking things and all this stuff. I like, maybe it's just from like my life experience. Like, auditions are about ranking artistic output, which I think like there's this actually just space for everyone, you know, like there's just space for more. So like, I don't know, I could give you a handful of people. I think it's like everything is situational. Everything is, you know, dependent on chemistry or all these things for how you do well. There's so much luck involved in all of these games, you know. I can say like players that I really like love attributes from, you know, like I'm a Rachel Riley stan.
Boom. Forever. She's great.
I think Rachel Riley kills the game, you know. I love Davon. I don't think Davon ever, you know. I wish Davon. Now I wish her like first season was like next year or something, you know. I'm a big. Honestly, I like how Frankie Grande plays these games.
I was gonna say Frankie's one of my favorites.
I think Frankie does a great job. You know, he reinvented that one comp that now no one does as a duo. It's only a single comp now because of Frankie. I love Tiffany Mitchell's, how she played, you know. I don't know. Yeah, so I guess those are a couple.
You didn't mention Derek.
Who?
Derek.
Who?
Exactly. I have told Heidi numerous times, Derek, to me, played the best game of all time.
I want you to rewatch that season and think about the fact that every diary room you do is after the event that happens.
Ooh.
Sometimes days.
I do like him.
Hindsight, retrospect, like I, yeah. I.
Well, there's an aspect.
I think also, it's hard. It's so hard because I also think like being who he is at the time that he played Big Brother, he was going to be successful no matter what. Cody was going to be successful no matter what. Like, bros stick with bros, and ultimately women stick with bros. Like, it's so frustrating. Y'all watch The Challenge? Burna, you know? Like, we're not going to get an all-women final. Like, that was so ridiculous. That was so dumb. Yeah, so I think those are the things that we just, you know, people you don't want to talk about or are hard to talk about, that are elements of this game. Humanity is an element of this game, and where we are as a society and a culture are a part of these games. And like, that's why I find them so fascinating, ultimately.
This is why I love you.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that we always get the most satisfying or the most like accurate winner or like trickle down of the season.
Yeah, you know? And I was going to say that too, right? Like, even in Big Brother, like, even if you watch the feeds and all that, there's always a component of the edit or what you actually watch in the show. And, you know, many times you wonder, is this the legit story or they're just feeding me what they want us to be, you know, they want us to believe into the winners or the people that make it to the end or the people they want to be at the end. I mean, or people that give the best confessionals. That doesn't mean you're the best player kind of thing. So, yeah, it's very interesting to hear your perception there because I can understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
That was a completely male dominated season. Like, for as much as like I'm down for 16, like the major alliance was all dude bros under the age of 32. The age of 30. Right,
strictly. It maybe I should have not said great. Maybe I should say your favorite because they're fun. There's a lot of favorites for me. You know, like totally. Rachel's one of my favorites of all time. Dan Rachel, is great.
Brittany, you know, Davon, Casey, Tiffany, Hannah, Derek X, Claire. I love Claire. Anyway, yeah, you know.
I will say Brittany. She got a little whiny on the Christmas thing. The Christmas.
I love her. Yeah, that's her personality.
But she's the opposite of you and me. And Heidi, she's negative at times. She can be a little negative.
Oh, I'm negative as hell.
Oh my gosh, you don't shock me as a negative person.
No, I just like I want to continue uplifting women's personalities and not judging like gameplay or like associating gameplay with just like perception of their personalities, because I think when men have like strong outward personalities or like need to punch a wall because they're so mad, we don't call them negative, we call them uplift, you know, we like, oh, he needs a moment, or like, oh, he's so strong. Like, we equate those things with different things. And we always equate those elements with, you know, I loved how, well, on the Traitors, Kate continues to.
I love her. Kendra,
but I love that last episode, you know, not last night, but the last week.
I'm like, that's
yeah. Yeah. No, she's spoiling it for you, Heidi.
No, but like Kate was like, yeah, Dan, like that's Phaedra's personality. She's extra. You know what I mean? And it's like Dan is hoping that everyone accepts, well, I'm a quiet guy. That's just my personality. And then attacks, weaponizes Phaedra's personality. So I want to, yeah. Anyway,
Dan's funeral.
Josh Martinez. Let's go. Josh.
Yeah, I like Josh. He's from Miami, right? Miami Josh. He was he was on the games, the Christmas games.
Well, he's on the challenge now.
Yeah, he's a challenge guy.
Dan's funeral, one of the best scenes in Big Brother history, of course.
Yeah, sure.
I love how you disagree with me. I like that. You just go sure. Sure, Brad. Whatever, I mean, Brad.
I
don't.
I think like yes. We love a good like playing for the, you know. Yeah, of course, it got him out of a pickle, but it got him out of a pickle. I think privilege was a huge part of why that worked for him.
Because he's Dan.
Yeah, I don't think it's like the move of it. It's because
he's Dan.
It's because of the move and because of the Dan man of it. So. So it's hard. Yeah, it's hard for me. Like, yeah.
Izzy, where were you at when you found out you were going on Big Brother? Yeah. What were you doing?
Sorry about all this.
Because I'm fascinated with that.
Well, what's funny is I had applied to Survivor like 4 times and never got a call, never like made it any point in the process. And I applied to Big Brother in some ways to be like, well, I would play this game. Like, I love all of these social experiment games. But like, it's not really the dream, so maybe I'll make a better casting tape because I like care less, because that's very me. Like, I can get in my own head when I like care, you know. So my Survivor tapes are maybe not the best anyway. And so I just like it. I put on a Winners at War buff, what a jackass, and like got out my guitar and was just like riffing and was like, what up? Yeah. And then told like outrageous stories about times when I wanted to hurt men, and then said I would evict all the men in the house, and they called me, and I'm gonna get on this show, and they called me like a week later.
Wow. So
that was like how I got, that was when I got the call, and I actually found out that I was gonna like that I was like in the finals, which is like the very last, like they might now put you on a plane once you've made this round. I was at like a New York Liberty game. It was like in between the third and fourth quarter, and I got a call, and I was like, hold on, baby, I'll be right back. You know, and then I sat back down and I was like, I think it's gonna happen. I think it's gonna, you know, like freaking out with like thousands of people around you. It's like kind of surreal, actually.
Did they tell you over the phone, or did they find you with the key? Because we got this story before about how they did it. So I'm very curious how they did it for you all in 25.
Well, I'm gonna plead some of the fifth.
Okay,
this.
No problem.
But really, the moment you know is when you get the key.
Okay, so that's like, what Christine said. So you're validating. Not that we question Christine at all. I mean, she was.
Well, because I loved picking apart, being like, I know what's gonna happen next time. You know, like I was like such a bitch before. You know, during like filming our intro segments or whatever, just being like, you don't have to hide it from me. Like, I understand what's happening, you know? So, but if really officially you find out when you get the key.
How excited.
I was just going to twist it a little because she said something that sparked my attention, which is, would you go now to Survivor? I hope they call you for Survivor.
Oh, me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I want to go yesterday. Like, I want to play Survivor. So even more now do I want to play Survivor, especially since, you know, I talked a lot about like feeling not so connected to people in the house that I played Big Brother with. And it's just like, basically every single person that's played Survivor that I've met, I've like loved. I don't know. I just like love the vibe of, you know, the culture of who is on Survivor and how Survivor people think about the game and how they want a game. And like, that's where I'm at. So I'm dying to get on the beach, and I'm a huge swimmer. Like, people would be so shocked. I actually think I would be very good at the challenges on Survivor, which I think people would be shocked at. But yeah.
I would love to see you and Ceri on Amazing Race as partners.
We've talked about that.
That's what we need to see. I want to see that.
We'll have to get on a jogging regimen. My Paige, my partner, jokes that she was like, yeah, if you and Ceri go on the Amazing Race, it'll be the most entertaining first leg of any season.
Yes.
And we're going to like get to Vietnam and be like, should we go eat those noodles? Like, yeah, let's go.
How excited were you to get to go to the diary room a lot where you could just talk freely? Like, it was
my favorite place. It was actually my favorite place. And I think like part of my devastation was like, I thought even in my times where they weren't asking questions, but you can just go and like have a moment, I was like, wow, I'm giving you great content here. You know, like, I don't think a lot of it made it into the show, but I loved being in the diary room. I think because I was keeping the secret, there was no one else I could talk to about the secret. And so in the diary room was where I talked about the secret. Like, it's where I thought to myself and could talk out loud about being like, am I getting Ceri'd? Like, I know who Ceri is. Is she playing me? You know, like, and there were little things over the first couple weeks that we both were trying to show each other non-verbally, kind of that like, no, 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 I got you, I got you, I got you. And that was mutual, but I had to talk about it, you know? So I loved being in the diary room, and it was the only place that was like quiet. The house is actually kind of like echoey. And you're always just like aware of people talking or people being around, obviously. And so I felt like it was the most peaceful place.
Was Traitors, because I'm a newbie on Traitors. Traitors before Big Brother? Had you seen her on Traitors before?
Well, I hadn't finished it. So that's what's funny. But that was my one lie to her. My one lie to Ceri was that I had finished Traitors. Because I did know before I left that she won. I knew she won. And I knew she won in like, you know, an amazing fashion. You know, like I knew that it was like kind of spectacular. And I just was like so fixated. I didn't think I was going to see Ceri Fields in the Big Brother house.
This is true. So I was like,
okay, great. That'll be my treat. Truly, I was like, okay, that'll be my treat when I get home from Big Brother. I'm going to watch Ceri's win. Like literally. And then, so when I got into the house, I strategically thought it was going to be important for her to know that I had seen it, because I wanted her to know that I wasn't afraid, and I wanted her to know that I knew we were going to game. Like I actually think this is really what did it. Like, I was honest with her about everything. Like, I know that was a lie, but it was like in hopes of being like, see, I see you, I know who you are, and that's okay. I'm not threatened by it. Like, I want to work with you. That makes me want to work with you. I told her, I was like, we had conversations about how I was like, I know your mother and son. Like, I know my position in this trio, and I want you to know that I know it. But I'm still, this week, we're together. Like, we are together in this.
And when you found out that she was going to be in your same season of Big Brother, were you like all giddy and like compose yourself so she doesn't know yet?
Well, but what's funny is if you've seen the first episode of the whole premiere night episode, that is when I found out.
Yeah.
Like that whole sequence literally happened in the amount of time that it took on the episode, which is wild. I mean, I recognized Jared before we even walked onto the live stage, because they line us up. And I was like, I think that's Jared Fields. I was like, oh, that's a cool twist. I was like, okay, I'll look out for him. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'll look out for him.
And well, then knowing you, right? Because we go to the Survivor parties and all of that. I would have known too, although I'm a Survivor player now, but I feel like the Survivor community would have known immediately.
So I was worried about Corey. He was literally the only one I was worried about knowing or figuring it out, because he's a Survivor person. His brother was on 42, you know, like I thought that he was going to be the problem, and he had no idea.
Did you know about Corey? Can you, cause Corey looks very similar physically to his brother.
Well, what's so funny is like, you forget, like, no offense, Zach. I love Zach. But it's like, you know, you're only on like an episode or two on Survivor, and then like, I didn't remember what his face looked like. When he said it, I did look at Corey and I was like, oh snap, I think I can visualize who Zach is.
Yeah.
But no, I wasn't gonna figure that one out on my own.
I think I would have been scared of Ceree if I had seen Traitors and met her there. I'd be like, man, she could cut me quick because she was great.
Her enemies close. I mean, like in some ways, I just like. I mean, we talk about this. She says that she, like, I had the power. Like, I truly had the power. And it wasn't beneficial for their game either. Ceree, in some ways, was having same, if you can believe it, like, you know, having similar issues socially that I was for different reasons and in different ways. But we were both having trouble, you know? So the way she describes it also was like, I was her game as much as she was my game in there. And so I think we just, we're just both like really, we care about the game and we respect the game and each other. And so I think it was like, as long as this is mutually beneficial, why would we ever stop? That's the best strategy. Yeah. The best strategy to the end is continuing to find mutually beneficial things.
Izzy, I have told Heidi this before. I said, I feel like if I was on Big Brother, what was your bedtime on Big Brother? Because you have to stay up late, right?
Well, I'll tell you, it was fun. Well, yeah, I mean, contractually, house guests have to be awake between the hours of 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Like, so you can't even attempt to go to bed before 10 p.m.
Oh, wow.
But
I didn't know that.
It was interesting. I felt like in an interesting position because, like, truly the people I was working with were the older people in the house who wanted to go to bed early and wake up early. Like, me and Ceree started realizing that we could get, like, 30 minutes of dead alone time if we woke up at like 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m. And so she would wake up and every morning I would wake up with like tapping on some part of my body that she could reach in the dark. And we would sneak out to the bathroom and like finally have time together to like debrief, to like plan the day.
The chat
to like be like, okay, this is what you're working on. This is what I'm working on to do our business. And then Felicia would wake up and then it would all be ruined. You know, Red would get up, Bowie, you know. So I was waking up really early and then I would say every night, I would be like, all right, I would like tuck Ceree and Felicia into bed and be like, okay, well, I'm going to do the night shift. Okay. Good night. And then I would stay up with the kids as we called them.
That's like, funny.
And not like every night, like I would have died, but I tried like a handful of nights throughout the week to, you know,
if you're playing the game, I feel like you shouldn't go to sleep the first or wake up the last.
Yeah. And the first week, we did not sleep.
I believe it.
We did not sleep. Like, it was a nightmare.
But Donnie went to bed first before everybody. And
well, and so did Ceree. But you love Donnie and you love Ceree.
I love them both. Yes.
That's what I mean. Like, you have to be like a special.
Yeah, you're right. I couldn't last. I'm tuckered out at 9. I like to go to bed at 9 or 10 a.m.
You cannot do Big Brother then.
We figured that out, Heidi. I snore and I go to bed too early to be on Big Brother.
But Heidi, I'm sure you can speak to this. It's like every, you know, I get questions like that or responses like that, you know, and it's like I just can't express enough that like nothing about this is real life. Like it's not. It doesn't matter. Like,
I agree.
It doesn't matter. You're doing this thing. Like, this is the thing you're doing. And you've already been isolated from your life for like 2 weeks. For me, it was 12 days that I was like in a hotel by myself.
God, that seems horrible.
And that was the worst part. I was absolutely the worst. The PAs told me afterwards, because they were totally lying to me, being like, no, everyone's upset. And they were like, no, you were the worst. Like, you were miserable. I was miserable. And so you get into the house and you're like, I made it. Like, I walked through the doors. I'm here. Okay, we clocking in. I saw it as work. Like, I was at work. You know, I wasn't here to be in a summer house, Bowie Jane. I wasn't there for that, you know? Like, I was there to.
I always talk about that because going to sleep, and a lot of people in my season didn't realize that about me, but we talk about it after. I will be the person sleeping with my glasses. Like, how did not everyone sleep with their glasses? I mean, I cannot see without them, right? So I wanted, and you know how Survivor is. You want to know who's moving at night, who's talking to who. So I would always, like, I have my buff to cover my ears for any bugs to not go in my ears, but I always have my buff up here. So I slept with my glasses because I wanted to know what's happening. Oh my God!
You slept with your glasses, Heidi?
That's wild, Heidi.
That is I can't do that. Like, I would keep it in my hand, maybe, if I heard something.
Oh, no, like, my buff will be holding my glasses, too. So, you know how you move whatever, and your glasses kind of go like that. No, I slept with my glasses because I wanted to see what's happening while I'm sleeping.
That's
right?
A camera move.
You're taking that tip.
Yeah. How many pairs of glasses did you bring? Both of you?
I only had one. Like, they don't really, in Survivor, you don't bring anything. Let's be honest here. So I only had one. And to Issy's point, though, I always woke up first. In my 26 days living in the island, one day I slept in and I freaked out because I was like, oh my God, I didn't wake up first. What happened that I missed? Yeah. But waking up first is what gives you the ability to talk to the people that wake up first. Yeah. So you strategize. Right. And a lot of the greatest conversations that I had for my game happened because I woke up first. So yes, if you go to a game, sleep with your glasses, wake up first, because that's when you have the best chances to know what's happening.
Absolutely.
What would happen if you broke your glasses sleeping? Like, you roll over and like
they'll give you, they'll have a backup for you, I'm sure. So, because, you know, like, at the end of the day, you're still a human being who need to see what's happening.
Or would we have seen Heidi with tape on her glasses? That's
potentially.
Yeah. Jeff Probst, though, you got to tape that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Issy, tell us where you're at now. Tell us how people can follow you so we can wrap it up here with you. Tell us, you know, a little bit about where you're at today and how people can follow you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Instagram. It's like my whole damn long thing. It's at Isabel Lepanto Gleicher. No, nothing in there. It's my whole government. I use it for, like, you know, my flute stuff. I use my nice fancy name. And on Twitter, it's at Flute Dyke, and I'm very proud of that handle. So follow me on Twitter. And I'm just, you know, I got a couple shows coming up. I'm traveling to Berlin in early
March. Wow.
To play a show. And I'm really excited about that. I'm playing with my friend Natalie Joachim, who is releasing an album, and we're premiering on the West Coast her new album, and playing with my group Wild Up in Sonoma, which will be nice. So I've got shows coming up and work coming up and watching Traitors and getting ready for season 46 of Survivor.
Yes. Oh my God, Issy. Thank you so much. I love you so much. I'm a fan forever and ever. I really hope. Yes, thank you. I really hope they bring you back to my screen because I cannot wait. Maybe we'll be in the same show together. Who knows? That would be amazing. Don't tell anybody, we'll be allies because you know.
Right now.
Listen, we have John reality check. Y'all are friends. That's what.
Obviously.
I'll be holding my popcorn going, look at them, honey. They're really rocking it.
You and Max take notes, okay?
Yes. Be like, okay, I'm studying this right now.
Exactly. We're going to hide it, but what you will watch on TV, it will probably won't be what's really happening because we're going to hide it. Don't, you know. So, pre-gaming.
I like that we have put Izzy on Survivor, Traitors, and Amazing Race in this episode. We like her so much. We want her on all three of those. Yeah,
I want her to go on Amazing Race with Siri, and I'm gonna go with Jam Jam. So I will bring all the diversity that we can, and see where we can take this. It will be pretty fun.
So funny! Wow, that would be so fun.
That would be the best. I would enjoy watching that with Max.
That's right. The first season of Amazing Race that actually worked with an alliance. We would absolutely.
That's a hard show to have alliances on. It is so hard.
Unless people really just decided that when we see each other, like, if we're close to each other, we are doing the thing together.
Yeah.
We are doing it together.
Yeah. Like, it's tough.
Because who cares? I would come in last every, like, you know, second to last, you know, the non-eliminated, but I would come in like second to last every leg up until
and
three. I don't care.
That's okay. That's just never be last. Never be last and just keep going.
You hear that, Jesse? Call me.
Izzy, thank you so much. We love you're always welcome to come back and chat with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Heidi's got to go watch Traitors now.
Yes.
Yes. Love you, Izzy. Guys.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, Heidi, that was a fun conversation. Izzy brought it.
Her. Oh my God. We can talk with her. Seriously, I feel like I can talk to her for hours and hours and hours. Love everything about her, her authenticity, everything.
You know,
so
I, I had never heard of Tiny Desk. I've never heard of that. I didn't want to say it to her, but I'm telling you that. So when she's listening now, she's going to be like, Brad had never heard about that? No, I've never heard of Tiny Desk.
Oh, now you're going to Google it and YouTube it, and you will be obsessed because, like, it's really a fun thing to watch. You'll see.
You're going to find her episode. I want to see her on Tiny Desk. We should share that on Reality Check's Instagram.
I think we should.
Yeah. That was fun. Izzy brought it. Thank you, Izzy, for coming on and spending some time with us. I learned that she was on Tiny Desk and that we want to put her on every reality show possible.
Amazing Race, Another Big Brother, Survivor, Traitors, pretty much everything out there. Oh, she
everything
will be fun.
Everything you and I like, we want to put her on.
We like a lot of shows, so.
We do. Maybe we watch too much reality TV, honey.
That's what this is all about, right? To keep up with all of it. So listen, I am so happy that she came. She was so herself. Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about the diversity and everything behind the scenes on the reality TV shows. That is very close to who I am also as a person. So I loved that it was unscripted and pretty much we talked about a lot. I guess you're going to have to listen in order to see, to hear, to know exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly.
Go watch her season. You can watch it on Paramount Plus. You can watch Big Brother 25. You can watch at least the first 6 episodes with Izzy on there. So how can they find us, Heidi?
So if you want to follow us on Instagram, Reality Check HB, and that stands for Reality Check with Heidi and Brad. Please follow us, send us messages, let us know if you want to hear anything specifically, and we'll give it a try.
Yeah, do that, and like and subscribe. Follow us on Work Advice on iTunes and Spotify. If you want to hear it, we'll download automatically onto your phones. Subscribe, leave us a review. Every other Thursday, you get to hear Heidi and Brad. And I think those Thursdays are the best Thursdays. I look forward to Thursdays because we get to hear us on the old iPhone or whatever phone, or Android, whatever you're listening to it on.
Thank you so much.
You need to go watch Traitors. Go watch Traitors and let's reconvene, and I'll text you and you tell me what you think.
I will. I cannot wait.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time on Reality Check with Heidi and Brad.
See you soon. Thank you, Brad. Bye.